some miles and you start talking, gonna make some smiles at the dog's barking. Don't stop, don't stop when you stop barking. Gonna wear those styles when you start barking. Gonna live that style.
This is the Die Hard on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Just let this play a little, Charles Carter. Come on, crank it up. I like it. It's good stuff. Sean McElroy here as well. And let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. He played in the bigs for the White Sox, Yankees, Cleveland Angels. He's a three-time All-Star, 1993 Cy Young Award winner, called Blackjack, the greatest nickname of all time. Jack McDowell is on the Progressive Insurance guest line with the Diehards. Hey, Jack, welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing all right. Who sings that song that we were just playing?
That is me, man. I did everything at home. That's a new song.
That's good stuff, man. So you keep it busy? That's my first question. What's keeping you busy these days? What's obviously your music and your passion for music, right?
Well, yeah, I like doing that. But the tough thing is now is that's more of a rock and roll type song, and that's not being pushed too much these days.
Well, it's good stuff. We're going to keep it in our rotation. We're going to play it from time to time, if that's okay with you.
Cool.
All right, man. Hey, yesterday, Major League Baseball announced Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton named to the Hall of Fame yesterday. Did the voters get this one right?
Yeah, it's really weird what's going on in the Hall of Fame on and off. Like, so many people that haven't gotten in probably should be in by now.
Sure.
But they aren't being allowed. And, you know, a lot of the fans come back and reach out directly about that kind of stuff. So I don't even know what's going on with all that.
We're here in Boston, and we see you're originally drafted by the Red Sox. Was there any chance of you signing there before you went to Stanford?
What's that?
We're here in Boston. I said you were originally drafted by the Red Sox. I'm wondering if was there ever any chance of you signing before you picked Stanford?
Well, yeah, that's the thing is I was drafted way late.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and look in that era, anybody that was drafted going to Stanford because of the Stanford school being such a high-rated school, nobody signed. And nobody even signed as juniors. They had to get all the way through the college before they signed to go to professional baseball. And so that's why, you know, everyone knew I was going to Stanford, so I didn't get signed early.
Hey, Jack, Sean McElroy here. I had a question about, you know, your 93 Cy Young year. Every year you go into the year and you hope for, you know, high expectations that, you know, you're going to, you know, do well and stuff. But when did you feel that you were on that pace for the Cy Young during that year? When did you figure that you weren't going to be in the running? Do you remember much about that year?
Well, it's just, you know, the past 3 years going into that is when I just kept moving forward. If you go look, probably the 1991 was one of my best seasons, but I only won 17 games. But I think, looking back on it, that I just had a bunch of saves that were blown. I had a bunch of blown saves, so I would have, you know, won 25 games if they would just let me finish more, or if we would have just won games and we should have. So I don't know. So, and then, you know, you just keep going. And the year before, I was number two overall. So knew I had a chance.
You know, when you look at your career and you look at pitching now, I mean, you're talking about a guy yourself that, you know, you knew in April you were going to get 30 starts, 200 innings. And then you look at complete games, 15, 13, 10. Why do you think the game has changed that doesn't happen anymore? And B, how much money could you have made this year with those numbers?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And that's the thing, they say, oh, there's no longer any complete games and all this, and they blame the pitchers for it, but that's not true. They just aren't allowed to keep pitching. And if you look, you know, a lot of the metrics that they're trying to say, oh, the third and fourth at-bats that guys get off the pitchers, that's their best at-bats, because they've seen the guy twice in the game. Well, you know what? That isn't about every single specific pitcher. If they go back and look at the specifics of one pitcher and how is he doing? Is he doing well? Yeah, well, let him go throughout the game until the other team starts beating up on him. They're the ones that decide when it's time for the pitcher to come out of the game, not just predetermined stuff like that's going on now.
You got into coaching after your career, coaching some college baseball. How did your coaching approach reflect the change of the game in the way that we just talked about with pitches?
Yeah, you know, the tough thing about it is it's all about velocity now and all that. But the thing is it's about the reality of being good in every position of baseball, whether it's pitching, hitting, base running, or defense. You need to be able to move pitch to pitch. You need to be able to move around. Hey, oh, something just happened, or you just saw something. You got to make a move. You got to do something different. You can't just predetermine everything that's going to happen. And that's what's happening now. They're just predetermining it, and then all they care about is, oh, how hard is this guy throwing? Well, you know what? Who cares? Is he throwing strikes? Is he, you know, and why is pitching good? Well, pitching is good when you have command and you can make different style pitches. You can make curveballs, sliders, changeups. You know, no one throws knuckleballs anymore, but think about how great all the knuckleball pitchers were and how hard it was to hit those. So it isn't just about velocity that's hard to hit. And here's the funny part about velocity that I've actually done some work on. Okay, 100 miles per hour compared to 90 miles per hour. Okay, you're throwing from 60 feet. So by the time you step out there and release the ball, it's probably like 55 feet or 52 feet, depending on how tall and long your arm is. So in 52 feet, how much difference is 10 miles per hour? Does anyone know that?
Well, that, I mean, it's got to be a lot.
Well, it's if you do the math of that in a 55 foot with a 10 mile per hour, and it's only like a 2 second from your hand to the catcher. It's like a 2 second thing. So what's the difference? It's a 6 inch difference.
Yep.
Wow. So is that really that big of a deal?
No.
No. Wow. So if you throw 90 or 100, it's only a 6 inch difference. And you look at how much of a difference that is. Big deal. If a guy's swinging, you know, a 6 inch difference, that ain't going to matter. And that's why back in the day of pitching and worrying about all the different pitches and going back and forth and up and down speed wise and all that kind of stuff, your changeup, they wanted to be 15 miles an hour different than your fastball.
Crazy. Hey, as a Red Sox fan here, I can't let you go without asking about one of my favorite moments is when you're in Yankee Stadium and gave the fans the finger.
Everyone says that, and the thing is that the knowledge about what that was is they blew my mind out by booing me so hard. And that was the first time that I had faced the White Sox after the White Sox traded me illegally to the Yankees.
That's good stuff. And
it's like, you know, what do you think? I'm not trying to kill them right now. And they happen to be beating me and you're going to all boo me in front of them. I was so upset about that, you know, and then at the end of it all, like, oh yeah, okay, I realized that probably wasn't a great thing.
No, it was a great thing.
it was.
We had a bunch of the old school dudes show up that weekend, you know, for the Yankees thing, and I was thinking a lot of them were going to be like mad at me for doing that, and it's funny because they a couple of them told me, oh, you know what? You started doing that, He said, all the old school guys, these people used to boo all the time, and they always used to flip them off. Like, really? Oh, okay, well, thanks for not being super mad at me, but I ain't going to do it no more.
There he is, three-time All-Star Cy Young Award winner, the great Blackjack McDowell, who's going to be at the Pinstripe Prime 2024 event sponsored by eBay, an in-person autograph event, 60-plus guests, February 2nd through the 4th at the American Dream, One American Way in East Rutherford, New Jersey. If you need information, the number is 607-269-7567. info@halloffamesignings.com is the email, and tickets for this great event that are going to include Jack McDowell, Mariano Rivera, Tino Martinez, Goose Gossage, Wade Boggs, David Cohn, and many, many more. Tickets are at halloffamesignings.com. Thank you, Blackjack. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Blackjack.
All right, guys. Have a good time.
I'll see you next Friday, Blackjack.
All right, there he is, Blackjack McDowell on the Progressive Insurance guest line. We'll take a timeout when we return. Highest rated segment on the program, B-Town Rundown, is next.